To the one who's not only the King, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords for now and for all. We're grateful that you're here. A couple quick announcements in time of prayer. You will see a sticky note in there. I think, and I appreciate Sherry for putting those in there. Hopefully you all have a sticky note. If you don't, you might want to get a bulletin. I'll explain it to you later. That is not for you to play tic-tac-toe, nor to make a list of grocery list, but I'll explain it more to you in a bit. Also, I've had several people that we've come from different backgrounds liturgically, and I've had several people over the last couple of weeks say that some responses that are called for are printed in the bulletin and some are not. And just the ones that are not, basically the way a professor I had from the Deep South said is that in worship, just be good, hospitable Southerners. And we say thank you. And basically, if you are offered a gift, you are to respond with a thank you. So a blessing is a gift. So when, for instance, when I say the gifts of God for the people of God, you respond in gratitude, thanks be to God. At the closing, or probably the most greatest gift other than the table that you hear is when someone gives you the gift of hearing the word read and that they respond, the word of the Lord, what a gift. We respond, thanks be to God. So I don't know if that helps, but continue to ask questions because we all come from different traditions, but we come together to praise His holy name. Newsletters are out. We thank Katie and Mona for sending those out. If you didn't get the newsletter, please let me know. The sheets are still on the back. If you're not getting a piece of the communications that the church puts out, sign that and we'll make sure you get on there. Any other announcements? Yes, ma'am, B.
If you did not pick up your contribution statement last week, this is the last Sunday they'll be out. I need to mail them after that, so please pick them up if you're here.
If you made contributions, your contribution statements are on the back. This will be the last week that they're out, and then they'll be mailed. So pick those up, and in good order, we as a congregation say thank you for your support and faithfulness unto the Lord. Thank you, B, for your work. Any other announcements?
On the song sheet for Majesty, I couldn't fit it all on one page. So there's a little arrow that comes over here. And if you're not familiar with this, Sarah is going to help me sing this at Octor. So you can look at it there, but just, you have to flip the whole entire thing backwards, and at the bottom of the Ferris wheel, Jesus, that's the end of the match.
Well, thank you. And we look forward to it. It'll be sung as a duet during the offertory, and then we will sing it as we close our hymn, Majesty. The whole theme today is that He is the King, the only King above all. Any other announcements? All right, let's move to prayer requests. Any prayer requests that anyone would like to share with us this morning? Yes, ma'am. Patty?
Sherry Bryant, Sherry Marsh and her family.
Thank you.
She's expecting to go on dialysis.
Let's keep Sherry Marsh in our prayers. You might as well keep Sherry Bryan as well. I know her husband, so she needs your prayers. But let's keep Sherry Marsh in your prayers. And Patty. Well, we're continuing to keep you and Gwen in prayer, and I hope, let us know when she returns home, and we'll continue to keep in prayer. Any other items of prayer? Yes, ma'am.
I have a client whose sister works for tested positive for COVID this week, and so he and his two sons had been exposed. So far, so good. He hadn't gotten it as of yesterday, but we're having him isolate off-site until he passes the quarantine time.
Can you share his first name?
Sam.
Let's keep Sam in prayer.
And he's not able to work, obviously, because he works for her during this, so that's challenging for him as well. Also, I have a friend I made when I visited Honduras a few years back, who I learned late last night has gotten COVID for the second time, and he's really struggling this time with it. Been sick 15 days, lots of trouble breathing, and can't sleep. So if you'd lift him up.
What's his first name?
Jesus.
So Jesus and Sam with COVID. Okay. Any others? Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Sir.
Thanks for the prayers for Cindy. He seemed to be working. So.
Let's continue to keep Cindy Williams in our prayers and her entire family, John and Tricia and all. Thank you. Any others? Let's go to the Lord. Our gracious Lord, we thank you that our responding to you in prayer is not just sort of mere words or wishes. We often talk. We often share concerns that we have. We often will speak to others about different things that are on our hearts and minds. But we must confess that most of the time it's simply an act of shedding those things that haunt our minds. We share and talk, and usually just have very little confidence that the one that is hearing can really do anything to fix. How different prayer is for us. How unlike mere chatter are our prayers that we bring to the holy God, the one King of Kings, the one whose name is victorious above everything else that is named. So our prayers to you are not simply chatter or wishes, but they are placing our cares in the only hands that are strong enough to work. So we come to you with that confidence of children, knowing that you are active in the affairs of all of us. And we offer these, releasing them from our worry and placing them into your care. We think of Sherry Marsh as she's beginning dialysis. Lift up the family of Bill Bryant, Bill Burnett, as he has passed so unexpectedly. Lift the whole Burnett family up. We pray that you would be with Sam and Jesus and others that have a diagnosis of COVID. We pray that you would be with Gwen as she returns. We pray that you would be with Patty, that dynamic together will be one that will be a blessing. We pray that you will uphold. We thank you for your love that is given directly to Gwen and also mediated through her grandmother. May she feel that love and be upheld by it. We pray that you would be with Cindy. Continue to work in her body, for you are the God that created us fearfully and wonderfully. Now we pray that the healing properties that you placed in the body will have free reign. Bring healing, we pray. Bring comfort and strength, not only to Cindy, but to Alex, and to John, and to Tricia, and to all the family. We thank you for your love that comes to us. We ask your blessings upon the name that comes to our mind at this time. Work. And as our Savior demonstrated for us perfectly, may we bring our prayers to you with the act of submission of saying that your ways of working are all wise and good, so we trust you. We're not giving you orders, directing you how to work, but we're placing our cares, trusting that you will, and that your Spirit will conform us, that we may say, with the center of our faith, not my will, but thine be done. So we pray and trust, and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You'll look with me. We only can gather in that name, the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sins. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us in the willing spirit.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. You'll look with me to the insert. We'll use the first six verses of Psalm 71, calling each to worship. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed.
In your righteousness, deliver me and set me free. Incline your ears to me and save me.
Be my strong rock, a castle to keep me safe. You are my crag and my stronghold.
Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the clutches of the evildoer and the oppressor.
For you are my hope, O Lord God, my confidence since I was young.
I have been sustained by you ever since I was born. From my mother's womb you have been my strength. My praise shall be always in you.
Thank you. First lesson is from Jeremiah 1, 4 through 9. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. But you dress yourself for work. Arise and say to them everything that I command you. Do not be dismayed by them, lest I dismay you before them. And I, behold, I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
confessing and hearing your goodness and care for us, we are led as a people to say, shame on us. Shame on me for all the times that I have doubted your goodness, worried about your working, feared issues in life, or questioned whether or not you loved and cared for us. For from the beginning, yea, before the foundations of the world, you have exhibited fully and perfectly your compassion, your love, your care. You sent your very best, your only begotten Son, the one in whom you had full delight, the very God of very God, begotten, not made, but who through love for us became flesh, suffered, was humiliated, died as a criminal for us. How dare we question your love? And even in our question, even in our doubt, even in our points of unbelief, you show your goodness and compassion, for you break not the bruised reed or chide us for our doubt. But as you spoke to your disciple Thomas, you condescended to where he needed to be and said, behold, my feet and my hands. We thank you for your love. From beginning to end, your power and majesty is exceeded only by your love and compassion, your mercy. And we are, of all people, most grateful and most confident. For having made us your children, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Second reading comes from 1 Corinthians 12, 31b through 13:13. Some people call it the love chapter. I will show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way, and is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, that I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And reports about him went into every place in the surrounding region. And he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and began to serve them. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him, and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ. You may be seated. Most of you know that I'm not real big into props or screens or things like that. But on the other hand, we are a symbolic people. And the thought I had in the wee hours of this morning, which may or may not be a good thought, so you can dismiss it if it isn't, is that the whole purpose, theme of our lessons, our hymn, the sermon, is that Christ is a king. Some of us spent the last 20-some hours in a conference over the first three chapters of Genesis, looking that the second Adam did that which the first Adam was called to do and failed at his task of protection of the garden and his wife by not doing what the second Adam did, and that is, instead of dialoguing with the enemy, the evil one, not crushing him from the beginning. So the second Adam came to crush under the feet. And we live in that victory, but the truth of the matter is, like Eve, sometimes we entertain the evil one. Like Eve, sometimes our thoughts and dialogue and worry goes to those enemies. Even though defeated, they still can loom large. So I thought, well, maybe while I'm preaching today, I would invite you. And maybe nothing comes. And maybe it'll come immediately. But you may have an enemy, a dragon, a situation, a person, a health issue, a spiritual issue, a financial issue, a domestic issue. You may have something that looms as if it will destroy and steal the peace. The sermon, the scripture, the hymns would tell you that all enemies in Christ are defeated. If it's helpful for you to remind yourself of that by putting that on the little sticky note, and then when we come for communion, I would invite you again, if it's helpful, to symbolically remind that that is no longer the king in your life. And when you come to receive the only king, dispose of those in a container that will be provided. If it seems silly, don't do it. Our gracious Lord, we are inadequate. I will most loudly and most unnecessarily, for these good people know and love me, but I will confess first that when it comes to speaking of and proclaiming your goodness and power, your majesty. When it comes to believing and inculcating that in our lives, we are just truly inadequate. For me to speak of the majesty of God is far more ridiculous than envisioning a child emptying the Atlantic with a thimble. But may your Spirit do that which we cannot do. May Jesus Christ be exalted as the only King of Kings. And may my words not get in the way of your word that eternally shines forth. And we ask this in your holy name. Amen. We paint ourselves in corners by our words. We all know that. Have you ever said something and the subsequent fallout painted you in a corner and you forever think, man, if I just kept my mouth shut? We speak and we think, and sometimes we create a scenario of our own making and then wonder why we're in the corner. I would suggest to you that over the last 100 years, for church history moves like a pendulum, but for the last 100 years there's been an emphasis among churches that I think has left us in the lurch and maybe in our own thinking. And that is what I would say is an overemphasis on the familiarity of God Almighty in the person of Jesus Christ. You've probably heard sermons that Paul tells us in Romans, and we read in Scripture in the New Testament, that God is our Abba. And what that means is that you can go up to God and just sort of casually say, hey, old man, how you doing? And while Abba is a term of endearment, it is far removed from any casual approach of God. We know of a gentleman who, when physically was able to attend our church, who's written several books, and one of his titles is entitled, and I would echo it, God is not your buddy. But we've emphasized that. We've said, well, when you come to church, you can relax. You don't have to dress up. And it's not like you're going to see the governor or anyone. You just come as you are and just approach this God in a very casual way. Don't you know he loves you and accepts you? And he's just like one of you, and he's just your buddy. And then we wonder why, when we have real issues in life, our thinking of Christ fails us, because most of my buddies that are on my level can't do anything to substantially fix the real issues in my life. You get that? I have lots of good buddies. But the problems we have in our life, I don't need a buddy. I need a Savior. I don't need someone who just can relate to me. I need a King who has demonstrated that he can crush every enemy. That's what I need. Now, thanks be to God, the other side does need to be emphasized. We just need to emphasize both sides. Every road has two ditches. So to go from the ditch of overfamiliarity to the other side and say that he is this hard, stern taskmaster that has nothing to do with us, only begrudgingly, we don't want to go over there either. But the balance is, we are in the midst of a loving, compassionate, welcoming Savior who is also the only King of Kings, the only eternal Lord, and therefore a real help in the time of trouble. Let's look at our text this morning. As my introduction became sort of
one other sermon, so let me stop the introduction and move to the text. The text in Luke, we just see him demonstrating his power, his kingly reign. We've seen heretofore in Luke the preparation to this point. We saw his baptism, and then immediately we saw his temptation. Then we saw that he went to those that knew him best. It's very interesting. He went to those who were very familiar with him. He went to those who had known him growing up, and they rejected his message. And now he, in the text that we read to, or heard read for us today, we see his power, his glory, his majesty expressed. Let me just outline a couple and we'll close with words far better than mine. And of course, I tried to alliterate it. The first way we see it in verses 31 to 32, we see his performing word. Look in verse 31. And Jesus went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath, and they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority or power. His words do something. His words are performing. When he speaks, things happen. Our words are reflective. We see dog after we see the dog. God is a God who, in the midst of darkness, says light, and light is created. And his words are performing, and that's why it was astonishing to the people. They had never seen this. They heard lots of teachers. In fact, if you go back and look at different histories, Josephus and others of this time, there were a multitude of people going around providing and performing exorcisms. Much like the situation when Moses brought the 10 plagues to Pharaoh and his men were able to replicate them somewhat, there were those that were doing exorcisms and even healings during first century Palestine. That was not rare. What was rare was how Jesus did it. When the others did it, it was quite an elaborate procedure. They had bells. They had rituals. They had potions that they would concoct. They had old wives' tales that if you take these three or four elements and mix them together with a certain number of incantations and ringing some bells and walking through fire, it was quite a situation. One scholar says that in the midst of all this hysterical paraphernalia, the authority of a single word came. And that's what astounded the people. Not that Jesus was bringing exorcisms and healings, that he could do it simply on the power of his word. He could just say the word and you could be healed. They said that it brought and it had authority. If you looked at the last word, verse 30, we're going to see two words that in the King James Version and others are translated power. There are about four different words that are used in the Greek New Testament for power, two in particular. And we see two of them, the two most prominent ones, in our passage today. The first is the word we have here, exousia, which means out of, from, power inherent. In other words, the word we would use and the word that is used in our ESV is authority. Power that comes from being authority. The other word that we'll see later in the passage is dunamis, which we get dynamite. That's power that has the ability. One is you have the right to, the authority. One is you have the ability to. Easy way to remember this is, if I went to one of your homes today, let's say I went to the Stevens home, for instance, I have the dunamis to get into their house. I have the ability to take a brick or pole or something. I probably could find a way in. I have the ability. But do I have the authority? No, I don't have that right. And what we see here is, and this is so beautiful, is that not only will we see later that Jesus Christ has all ability, he has all authority. He has the right. If we think of authority a little bit further, the word authority that we use is simply a derivative of the word author. He has all authority in our lives because he is the author of our life. And what can an author write? Anything they want to. I say to you, is what he said. He didn't refer to others as his authority. He didn't swear against the temple. He didn't swear against the best rabbinical tradition. He didn't quote others inherently from his own authority. He spoke the word. And it had the right to change things. He's the author. John says in John 1, verse 3, all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Brothers and sisters, whether we like it or not, everything in your life was made by him. Now, another story is a sermon. We're not, of course, he's not the author of sin. But the situations in our lives, the life we are living, he has the authority to act because he is the author of. And we trust the working of his hand. We can trust him. We see in verse 34, not only his performing word, but his position. Just in his presence, demons flee. We read in verse 34, or an explanation, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, your status. You are the Holy One, the only rightful son of David. And because he has that position, he then, in verse 35, has the power. And this is the dunamis. He not only has the authority to act in your life. Aren't you grateful he has the ability? He has the ability. I'm grateful that Jesus is that one who's Jesus, meek and mild. But aren't you glad he's far more than meek and mild? Aren't you glad that the meek and mild one who says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy burden, loaded down with the world's care, come unto you. That's his meekness and his lowliness of heart. And I can say unto you, if you need a listening ear, come unto me. I'll listen to you. That's that part. But you know what I can't say? That Jesus Christ has the power to say, and I will give you rest. We can point others to where rest can be found, but we cannot give rest. But Jesus Christ in himself, as the King of Kings, he not only has that meek and lowly side that welcomes us to him, he has the power to say, not I might give you rest, not when things change in your situation, I'll give you rest. But right now, because I speak it, Jesus says, I will give you rest. Now, the problem is, much like when the World War II ended on that VE day, you can read about pockets of resistance that continued to fight in different islands when they didn't get the word. Just like in our own country, after the war between the states was ended, there were pockets of resistance that didn't get the word. And sometimes feel they still haven't gotten the word that the war is over. But there's still pockets of resistance. And if you think about it, that's what evangelism is. We go and evangelize, and it is true that we evangelize because people personally need a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, but we're also going as agents of the kingdom saying the war is over and Jesus Christ and him alone won and we're at peace. And then finally,
Jesus is a preacher. All of this so that he could say in verse 43, and he said to them, I must proclaim or preach the good news of the kingdom of God. That's the good news. There's a new kid in town. There's a new king in town. Glad tidings were common again to the people of the day. Every time they got a new king, glad tidings from a town crier would go, for they didn't have internet and they didn't have evening news and they didn't have newspapers. So a town crier would go out heralding there was a new king. When Jesus Christ was born, he had heralds. It was in a previous chapter two ago in Luke. Do you remember the heralds he had when a new king was in town? It wasn't just a local town crier. It wasn't a little boy hawking papers on the street corner. It was the entire heavenly host declaring glory to God in the highest and on earth, which can mean, and in your lives, peace. Whatever enemy you think you have is a defeated enemy. Now, using my World War II illustration, I will confess, and that's the rub, the struggle, we live in an already but not yet existence. Much like D-Day, which D-Day happened when? Does anyone know? June 1944. And most people that know far more than I do would say that the battle was over. The war was over. It was substantially done. The powers had been defeated. But fighting continued until VE Day, which was in May 1945. Brothers and sisters, on the cross, the war was over. The king won, and he rose victoriously. And for reasons far beyond my pay grade and yours, we're still here. But we know he's coming back. And we labor, knowing that he reigns in our hearts. He reigns in our lives. And our role is to hear the Holy Spirit leading us to put more trust in what he did on the cross than what enemy you might have written on your sticky note. Our role is to be children that honor the word and declare that he is the king and not all of those things in our lives that yell very loudly to be the king. Because Jesus does it. Let me close with words far better than mine. And at this point, I wish I was James Earl Jones, but I'm not. So listen to the words, but ignore the southern twang. Hezekiah was a really good king. Not perfect, but a really good king. We know about him in two or three different ways. And Hezekiah was sort of fearful because he had enemies too. And one of his enemies was Sennacherib. I shouldn't have said, complained about my voice. Now God's saying I'll make it worse. There was a fear that it was going to overcome and he was going to seize Jerusalem. So Hezekiah, as a good king, knew the source of his power. And as a good king, he prayed. And he asked God to do what only God could do. And he prays in 2 Kings 19:34. And Jehovah, God, says this to Hezekiah. I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Hezekiah got the promise from God that Sennacherib would be destroyed. And the beautiful thing is, you read in Scripture, if you've read that, do you remember when God did it? When Hezekiah was sleeping. You're staying awake at night, brothers and sisters. That's not what's going to fix your issue. Your fearful worry, getting up early, pacing the floors, is not what is going to win the day. Your thoughts of worry, your anxieties and fears. Hezekiah, if he was here, he'd say, go on to sleep. He's promised your enemies will be destroyed. And we're on the other side of the cross, so even more than Hezekiah, we should be able to sleep at night, shouldn't we, brothers and sisters? Because he was looking forward to that which is yet to be. We look back to that which is already accomplished, and we have heard, reverberating through the annals of time, it is finished. So we can go to sleep. And while we're sleeping, George Gordon, better known as Lord Byron, tells us that this is what is happening. The Assyrian came down like the wolf on the fold, and his cohorts were gleaming in purple and gold, and the sheen of his spear was like stars on the sea when the blue waves roll nightly on deep Galilee. Like the leaves of the forest when summer is green, that host with their banners at sunset were seen. Like the leaves of the forest when autumn hath blown, the host on the morrow lay withered and strown. For the angel of death spread his wings on the blast and breathed in the face of the foe as he passed. And the eyes of the sleepers waxed deadly and chill, and their hearts but once heaved and forever grew still. And there lay the steed with his nostril all wide, but through it there rolled not the breath of his pride. And the foam of his gasping lay white on the turf, and cold as the spray of the rock-beating surf. And there lay the rider, distorted and pale, with the dew on his brow and the rust on his mail. And his tents were all silent, the banners alone, the lances unlifted, the trumpet unblown. And the widows of Asher are loud in their wail, and the idols are broken in the temple of Baal. And the might of the Gentile, unsmote by the sword, hath melted like snow in the glance of the Lord. Whatever you wrote on that paper, brothers and sisters, it melts like snow in the glance of the Lord that we have as he smiles on us through that precious face of our resurrected King. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the grave. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
You'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
He is right to give our thanks and praise.
God of glory and truth, we praise your holy name with thanksgiving. Because you sent prophets to inscribe the story of creation, to recall the shaping of your covenant with Israel, and to hold your people to account for their life in you. Those same prophets told of a day when you would restore your covenant and open wide your arms to bring your people home to you. In Jesus, we see those promises fulfilled. In his death and resurrection, we know our sins are forgiven and receive the promise of everlasting life with you. And so with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we join the everlasting hymn of your praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Gracious God, your Son Jesus ate with friend and sinner, with devoted disciple and with skeptical scrutinizer, with the one who would betray and the one who had denied. He made food a place of encounter with you, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, we ask you again to visit your people and sanctify us in the image of your crucified Son. Through the same Spirit, make these gifts of food, of bread, and of wine, that they be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Cleansing God, your Son Jesus taught and healed as one with authority. Where your children search in vain for someone to trust, show them your face. Where your people long for one to lead or a path to follow, send them your pillar of cloud by day and of fire by night. Where your church is faltering in fear and doubt, make yourself known in the ones we regard as the least of these. Usher in the day when all may taste and see the riches of your grace. In your arms of love will all the world embrace. In Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, in union with the Father. Amen.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, we come to this table, which was promised that it would be given in the midst of conflict. Perfect, peaceful surroundings of the reception of Christ's gift will not be ours until we sit at that heavenly banquet, that eternal marriage supper of the Lamb. But his promise and his presence and his power are not dependent or contingent upon that which is around us. For in that most familiar of psalms, we are promised, "I will prepare a table for you in the midst of thine enemies." But we also know it's encumbered upon us when we come to, as we sing, "Nothing in our hand we bring." We bring not our good works, we bring not our obedience, we bring not any righteousness of our own, nor do we bring those points of worry, those points of allegiance to any other power in our life other than Christ Jesus. So I would invite you, if it's helpful, to take that which you have written. And before you, with open hand,
receive the very Lamb of God. Dispose of them and take Christ instead. This is the very gift of God. Jesus Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been slain for us. Let us keep the feast. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to come with sincerity and heart to receive the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
Our gracious Lord, we thank you that as you emptied yourself of everything to win for us our redemption, may we empty ourselves of all things to receive Christ and Christ alone. We pray that through your resurrected power as the King of Kings, that you would crush all defeated enemies. Prepare us as your bride for that time in which you present us spotless before the throne, to enjoy in perfect peace and serenity the eternal celebration that you are the resurrected King. All power and glory, dominion and power, majesty, unto your name alone. And we ask this in that holy name. Amen. I'd ask you to stand and we'll sing together using our final hymn, Majesty. Peace to love and serve our Lord.
Thanks be to God.